Calling all small firm architects. It's time to tap into your full potential with Entree Architects Context and Clarity, where inspiration meets innovation. Hey, it's Mark R. LePage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my two favorite co-hosts, Jeff Eccles and Katie Kangas, as they bring together authors, experts, and thought leaders for electric conversations with entrepreneur architects around the globe. It's not just a podcast. It's a community where dreams meet action.
There is a simple equation there. And what for me, what that did, just doing that basic calculation, was it allowed me to compare what I had actually saved in my retirement accounts to what I thought a possible projected annual spend might be.
Artists are temperamental, so beautiful design is going to be a priority. When the job is done, we're going to actually need to live in the house, not live with the person who designed it. And so for me, the artistic skill, the architectural skill is most important. And so I would say like that would be 60% of it, if not more.
Gain insights to build a successful practice. Subscribe, engage, and let's redefine your future together. Join the Context and Clarity community, where every conversation adds to your blueprint for success. Your passion for architecture will exceed your expectations when you have a thriving business to fuel that passion. Build a better business, be a better architect. Well, a thriving business starts with planning for profit. Download your free course, Profit for Small Firm Architects, at entrearchitect.com/free course. You are listening to Entree Architect Podcast, and this is episode 198. Welcome back to the Entree Architect Podcast. My name is Mark R. LePage, and this is the podcast dedicated to a successful life as a small firm architect. Whether you have plans to someday start your own firm, whether you're in the process of launching a startup, or you might be an experienced small firm architect just trying to make a difference, this podcast is for you. My goal is to inspire you to build a better business so that you may pursue your purpose with passion and live the life of your dreams. For years, Sherry teetered back and forth between staying small, practicing as a sole practitioner, and making plans for growth and executing toward a bigger future. This week at Entree Architect Podcast, how to overcome the fear of growing beyond you as a small firm architect. This episode of Entree Architect Podcast is supported by our platform sponsors, FreshBooks, BQE Software, Arcat, and Gusto. And I'm going to share a little bit more about each one of these companies later in the show. But before we get started here, just take a quick note. Just take a quick note. Go grab a pencil and schedule some time this week. I really want you to do this. Go grab a pencil, schedule some time this week to go visit each one of them. FreshBooks, BQE Software, Arcat, and Gusto, and let them know that you appreciate them for supporting us, the Entree Architect community. Sherry Scott, welcome to Entree Architect Podcast.
Thanks, Mark. It's great to be here.
It is really great to have you here. You and I are friends for a long time. You're a member of Entree Architect, the membership, but even before that, you know, we connected online and became friends a long time ago and have been supporting one another as architects for a long time. So I've known your story. I've seen you grow. And I wanted to share your story with the rest of our community here at Entree Architect. So that's why I wanted you to be here and share your story. So before we get into that, I want to just introduce you to the listeners. As a founder and principal architect at Springhouse Architects, Sherry's mission is to lead clients through the building process with the clients in control and Springhouse as their guide, advocate, and ally. With over 20 years experience in residential architecture, Sherry brings knowledge and confidence to every custom home project. She's a graduate at the University of Cincinnati, and she has her NCARB license. Sherry's also the lead architect on three homeowners association boards and volunteers extensively with her high school marching band, her son's high school marching band, which I see all the time because I follow you on Instagram. you have some really talented boys, and it's great to watch them grow with you. And Sherry also feels privileged to be a mentor to teenage girls in conjunction with their parents, and lives in Springboro, Ohio, with her husband and her three boys. So that sort of gives you a little bit of background about Sherry and who she is. But I want Sherry to go back and tell us your story, Sherry. Go back to where you discovered architecture, what inspired you to become an architect, and give us the story from that moment to where you are today.
Sure. Discovering architecture, my moment wasn't very inspiring, only to say that some people can lead you places that you don't really expect. I was in high school, and my parents had recently divorced. My older brother and older sister had moved out to go to college, and so I was a newly only child. My parents divorced, and I was lost in high school. Grades were plummeting. Things were not going well. And my dad does not admit it, but I swear to this day, he must have called the counselor and said, get her to do something. Like, she's got to make some decisions. She's got to apply to colleges. She's got to do something. So they called me down to the counselor's office, and you know, I had a chip on my shoulder, and she asked me if I wanted to apply to college to be an engineer. And I said, absolutely not. My dad's an engineer. My uncle's an engineer. My sister's going to school for engineering. There's no way I'm doing that. So she asked me what I like to do. And of course, I'm like, I don't like anything right now. But I did like my drafting class. That was the one class that I actually looked forward to. So she said, do you ever think about architecture? And I said, no. She said, would you like to apply to architecture schools? And I said, sure. Like, if you'll let me just get out of this office, I'll apply to architecture schools.
I'll say yes to anything if I can get out that door right there.
Exactly. So sure enough, next thing I know, I'm applying to a few architecture schools. And I got into University of Cincinnati, which is a very good architecture school. I would imagine they were looking to bolster their female ranks at the time, because I wasn't their traditional, you know, straight A student that they were taking at the time. But it was looking back on it, like, all of those pieces were perfect for me. You know, I just needed some direction, and I needed somebody to say, do this. And I did it, and I can follow rules. You know, I just wasn't interested in making all those decisions at that time. So I was probably 16, 17. I went to UC. It was a great fit for me. I wasn't an artistic architecture student, but the structures classes and I liked the design classes. I held my own in those, at least. I actually married before I graduated from college. And so I graduated in 95. I was already married 2 years. And then I had my first child in 96. So as I was looking for my very first architecture job, I had a 6-month-old baby. So that was a lot different than most of the people I graduated with. You know, they're all going out. They're willing to move and to work long hours and do all those things. And here I am. I'm like, I have a newborn baby, a husband, and I want to work part-time, and I'm not moving. I have to work close to home so I can get back and forth. And so I had a lot of parameters to get that first job, which I luckily found the perfect job. I searched for quite a while, but I found Atelier Design in Centerville here close to my home. And they let me make my own schedule, and they let me work. They hired me on a conditional basis of being part-time. And I think I changed my schedule around through the years, but most of the time I worked 25 to 30 hours a week and had my focus on my family, but was kind of building that foundation of career the whole time. then, so I worked there in that capacity doing residential architecture for 12 years. And that was 2008. So in 2008, of course, there was no work.
So you started there in 2008?
No, I started there in 96.
So you ended there?
Ended there in 2008.
Yeah, okay.
So yeah, fast forward, you know, kind of biding my time, learning things, working 12 years. It was a good firm. We did good work. And then in 2008, there wasn't a whole lot of work there to be had. A lot of different things happened to create this perfect storm, most of which was my husband lost his job, and he was our breadwinner and held the insurance and everything else for our family. So when he lost his job and I was ready to leave my job because there wasn't much work, we just took it as a sign that we should both be moving on. So I quit my job. He got a new job right away out of state, and we picked up our three boys by that time. We picked up and moved to Indianapolis. And we were there probably in total, I think we were there like 6 to 9 months, and it was a total disaster. It was so bad.
Tell me about that. What happened? Why was it so bad?
In that time there, it was all family and personal issues, and John's job that he took was bad. Promises that he was made didn't mm-hmm. come through. John's mom, shortly after we moved, John's mom ended up ill and she died like 6 weeks after. That was a blow. I had left my job and started Scott Architecture before we went there. And one of the builders back here in Ohio, they came with me when I left my old firm, and I negotiated that with the old firm, and we were all on very good terms. But that meant all of my work was back here in Ohio. So I'm living in Indianapolis, trying to get three kids oriented to a new school and a new town. And I'm working back in Dayton, Ohio. John's hating his job. We have family, you know, funerals and things to get through. And it just finally all came to a head. And we said, we're picking up and we're moving back. And we did that. So we picked up and moved back. And basically started all over. You know, at that point, our life had been so, you know, relatively easy and smooth. And we always had jobs. We always knew where we were living. And all of a sudden, John didn't have a job again. I'm struggling to build this business. And now we're back in an adjacent town at this time. And just trying to figure everything out.
What year was that?
This is 2008, like beginning of 2009.
So pretty much same time. You went up there.
Yeah.
Things didn't work out.
Right.
Came back home.
Yeah. It was a rough year.
Yeah.
We learned a lot that year. So then after that point, no more tragedy happened, but it just took time, you know, it just little by little, every month it got a little bit better. Every month I'd get a little bit more work. John did get a new job and we were secure in that way. After a year or two, we bought a new house, and it just really took time. And it's hard to see that coming out the other side when you're in that moment.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, I think a lot of us experienced that after 2008. Didn't have to go through a lot of the things you went through, but you know, 2008 collapsed. You know, our whole profession collapsed, and it took a long time to recover. You know, and it wasn't a quick recovery. It was just these small incremental improvements, and it just got better and better. And you know, and we finally dug our way out. There was no point for me and the community that I, you know, the network that we have. There was no defining moment that, okay, it's okay now.
You know? Right.
We just sort of finally started paying our bills, and the things got a little bit easier, and we had the work that we needed, and we started growing. And so is that what happened with you? Is it just sort of finally, you just sort of incrementally grew, and suddenly you needed to hire people and do things?
Yeah, well, it did to some degree. I would say it organically grew just from natural hard work through probably me hiring one 1099 employee. And once I got a taste of that, of someone that I could delegate to and that could take on some of the work for me and I could focus on other things, that's when I got a little more focused and thought, this is for me. This is what I want to do.
Yeah.
So that was probably, I was trying to remember when I knew we were going to talk, I was trying to remember when we really connected, and it was probably in like 2013 mm-hmm. when I met you and connected with Entree Architect. I forget in what fashion. You had some kind of group together that I was a part of, and you were doing coaching.
Yeah.
Right. So I think I talked to you every once a month or something like that.
Yeah.
So I would say, you know, in terms of defining moments for my career, 2008 was certainly one, you know, just changing directions, whether it was my choice or not. But then again, it happened in 2013. And I'll say really the reason that was a huge change for me was one thing that you had me do was make a 5-year plan. And I remember us talking and, you know, I'm like, yeah, Mark, okay, I'll do a 5-year plan. I'll talk to you next month.
Right? I'm like, I'm not doing that. I remember that.
And then the next
and then we month, had that same conversation the next
right,
month.
Same conversation the next month. Finally, I'm like, I better do this because he's not going to drop it. So I did that, and that still defines where I'm headed right now, because I don't know if you remember the conversation, but I was amazed that once I put down on paper where my life would be in 5 years, it looked totally different than it did in 2013 to 2015. I think it may have been in 2015 when we did that. Because my entire career was always a balance of family and working, right? And always kind of all integrated, and I was happy doing that, managing all of that. I was good at it. I liked it. But then when I wrote down in 2020, all three kids are gone, right? They're all graduated. They're doing their own thing, which is absolutely what I want. I want them to be strong and independent young men. But then I'm like, where does that leave me? What does that, I've built this entire career balancing all of this. And then all of a sudden, now I'm looking down the road that you made me look down in 2020, and it's all different. And it made me stop and think, what do I want that to look like? And I knew in that moment, I don't want it to be the same as it is now, because I think it would, it worked for me as a balance, me working. I always worked part-time. I never, even with building my business, I still only worked part-time hours. But I knew that would need to be different when 5 years down the road came. And so my goal, my plan was to figure out, what do I spend the next 5 years doing to get to where in 2020, I'm like, I'm there and I'm working and I'm doing what I want to be doing once my life changes.
Yeah. I love that story because I remember those conversations and I remember you also, I mean, you're a very dedicated mom. Mm-hmm. And you were living that integrated life, and you still live that integrated life that, it's never really balanced, right? It's always one or the other, and you just sort of integrate them. And when you do that, everything sort of works. But I love that, you brought up the 5-year plan. That's something that I recommend everybody do. And, it sort of puts your head in the right place to where you want to be. And I love that it sort of opened your eyes to that future of what that future is going to look like. And that if you're not intentional about it, it's going to be the same as where you are now, or worse,
right?
Because you'll be there and you won't know, you know, how you got there or what you're doing or how you're doing it. Hey, let's take a quick break to say thank you to our platform sponsors here at Entree Architect. With their support, we can do what we're doing. So make sure you go reach out to them and say thank you. FreshBooks, Core by BQE Software, RCAT, and Gusto. FreshBooks makes it simple to send invoices, post your expenses automatically, track your time for your whole team, by project, and get organized with reports, communication, and notifications. And my favorite feature in FreshBooks, I've said this over and over again, and I love it, it is the automated invoice reminders. And I think sending invoices and getting paid might be one of the biggest barriers to our success as entrepreneur architects, right? Because who has the time? Who has the time to send invoices out? Well, FreshBooks makes it so easy to send out invoices and get paid online with a click of a button. And when your client doesn't pay you on time, and how often is that, like forever, FreshBooks will send them, you know, a friendly email reminder automatically through a simple system that you control. Sign up free for 30 days, unrestricted, and get ready for the simplest way to be more productive, more organized, and most importantly, my favorite, get paid faster. Visit entrearchitect.com/FreshBooks to get access to FreshBooks for free. And be sure to enter Entree Architect in the How Did You Hear About Us section. One of the most often requested resources here at the Entree Architect community is project management software. How do we keep our projects and our people organized while we grow as entrepreneur architects? Well, today's podcast is sponsored by BQE Software. They're the makers of the award-winning BQE Core. I want you to try out Core. Core puts project management, business intelligence, billing, time, and expense tracking, and accounting all together on one intuitive, powerful platform. With its cloud platform and mobile apps, Core lets you manage people, projects, and profits from anywhere. And you can get a fully functional 15-day trial of Core. Go check it out. 15 free days. Go try it at entrearchitect.com/BQE. RCAT is a great tool for small firm architects. RCAT has huge libraries online of free content, CAD, BIM, specifications, and much more. And they have done all the work for you. You need a spec? Click on over there, download the CSI three-part specification in multiple file formats, however you want it. They've got it, and it's free. How about CAD details or BIM objects? All free at the click of a mouse. RCAT has tons of building product content ready for you to use. It's all completely free, and you don't even have to register to download the content. It's there waiting for you. It makes your life so easy. And have you checked out their free collaboration tool, Charette? Charette is a tool for sharing and collaborating with your colleagues and clients in real time. And yes, it's free too. You can upload photos and files, share specs, product information directly from the RCAT database, as well as from anywhere else on the internet. Visit RCAT and click the Charette icon right there on the homepage. And like everything offered by RCAT, Charette, yes, Charette is free too. What is stopping you from going over to RCAT and checking out what they have? They everything you need. It's sitting right there waiting for you. RCAT has it. Visit entrearchitect.com/RCAT, A-R-C-A-T. Payroll and benefits. That makes my spine hurt. Payroll and benefits are hard, especially when you're a small business like us small firm entrepreneur architects. You don't have time to be an expert in things like taxes and regulations. And old school payroll providers, they just don't get it. They aren't built the way that we work today. Gusto is making payroll, benefits, and HR easy for small businesses. Modern technology does all the heavy lifting, so it's easy for you to get it right. You no longer have to be a big company to get great technology, great benefits, and a great service for your team. To help support the Entree Architect podcast, Gusto is offering our listeners an exclusive limited time deal. And don't listen up. This is a great deal. Sign up today and you will get 3 months free once you run your first payroll. So go to entrearchitect.com/gusto, G-U-S-T-O, entrearchitect.com/gusto, and claim your free 3 months of Gusto. FreshBooks, BQE Software, RCAT, and Gusto
please visit our platform sponsors today and thank them for supporting you, the Entree Architect community.
You certainly progressed through Entree Architect and the membership there, but there was also a time during that period where Charette Venture Group became part of your story. That we introduced you to Charette Venture Group through Entree Architect, and you tell us a story about how Charette came about and the work that you're doing with them.
Right. So that came about directly from that decision that over the next 5 years I want to grow and I want to be at a certain place when my life changes. But I didn't know how to get there. Like I knew where I was right now and I was comfortable with it. I had, I was blogging. I was doing a lot of the right things. My business was growing pretty quickly, actually. And I felt in control of it where it was. So number one, if I could make it grow, I didn't know if I could control it and have more employees and know what to do with them. And number two, I didn't understand the path. I didn't know who I needed to talk to. I didn't know who I needed to bring in. I didn't know what resources I needed to get from year 2015 to my goal in 2020. So, and my goal, not knowing anything about anything, my goal was in 2020, I want to be a firm of 10 people. And that's still my goal.
And I remember before you set that goal that you went back and forth.
There
was 1 month where you're like, okay, I just want to be a sole practitioner and I just want to make this work. And then the next month we'd come back and we'd have another conversation and you'd be like, yes, I want, you have a 1099 and you felt that delegation bug that sort of bites you and you become addicted to that delegation bug. And you're like, okay, I could do this. I can grow. And then the next month you come back and you're like, oh, maybe I want to stay small. And then, so you kept going. There was a struggle there, before you committed to growth and before you committed to, CVG and what they were going, because in order to commit to CVG, you had to commit to the growth. So
I agree.
So what was your thought process for doing that? What made you say, okay, I need to grow and I need to commit to growing and CVG is going to help me get there?
Yeah, it was, I think the reason I kept going back and forth was because my kids, I had three teenage boys at home. And so that's a lot of stress in a person's life. We're on the other side of that, thank God. But so that probably was, you know, if we had a busy, stressful month, that probably was the month when I'm like, no, you know, I just have to put the brakes on. Yeah. I want to be satisfied with what I'm doing. I'm fine working part-time. And then when I was ready to go, ready to grow and do this, probably were the times when I'm thinking, what am I going to do? What am I going to focus on when I'm not focused on family, you know, 80% of the time or 40% of the time, whatever time that takes in the moment. And I think that's when I had a longer perspective, that's when I knew that, that's when I said that I wanted to grow and build.
Yeah.
And the other thing that made me finally decide was, I forget what I had read, something about figuring out your passions and knowing what you're good at and knowing what's leading you. And number one, I don't have a lot of hobbies. And number two, I realized that I love business more than I love architecture. And so I love the business of architecture. It's a good combination for me.
Yeah.
But if I could decide every morning what I sit down and do, I'd probably work on the business before I would get out a roll of sketch paper and design a house.
Yeah.
So once I figured that out and figured out, you know, in the longevity of my life, what I want my focus to be, I think that's when I really came to the point of knowing I wanted to grow a business.
Yeah, that's a big tipping point. When you sort of, because it sounds like, you know, when you discovered that you loved the business of architecture more than the practice of architecture, that something in your mind, you found those strengths, and all those strengths that you have sort of focused you in on the business of architecture, and that's where you love being. That moment in time, and I think a lot of us struggle with that, especially as architects, because typically when you go into architecture, you feel like, okay, I need to be an architect. You know, I need to design. I need to be out there on a drafting board or in the computer designing buildings, right? That's what I was trained to do. That's what people expect me to do. And then when you discover that something else fuels you and something else drives you, and yes, it can be related to architecture or even, you know, be the driving force in your case of architecture, everything else starts to fall into place behind it, right? That everything else starts to feel happier. Right? There's less stress, the momentum starts to build, because now you're focused on the things you're good at and you're starting to build a team to fill in the gaps that you're not as strong on. And so that's where you started to go. So when you did commit to a partnership with Charette Venture Group, you started to grow, right?
Yeah. So they were very instrumental. I will say I wouldn't say I had cold feet to grow at that point. I had made the decision. I just didn't know where to start. And it was kind of overwhelming to think I could even learn it all, right? Or that I could find all of the resources that I needed to find, or that I could pay for all of those resources that I needed to bring in and manage all of them. And that's when you introduced me to Todd Redding and Charette Venture Group. And I think we started our partnership in 2015. I think we're coming up on 2 years right now. And it's been amazing. I have never regretted that decision. You know, the things that they offer me are all of the things that I don't know, right? And they offered me the things that I didn't know that I didn't know.
What are some of the things that they're working with? I mean, they're not running your business, but they have people in place that are specialists in certain parts of business, and they help their partners succeed. So what are they doing specifically for you? And before you answer that, I just want to make it clear, because this is starting to sound like a CVG commercial. This is not a commercial for Charette Venture Group. It's just that Entree Architect is a partner with Charette Venture Group, and Sherry's firm is also a partner. So I just wanted to put that out there. But so what are some of the things that Charette is doing with you?
Yeah. So, you know, anyone that knows me or is in, you know, my small group with Entree Architect, I talk about CVG all the time. So this is not unusual if you're talking to me. So, you know, financial stuff, we worked with Rena, to get one of the main things that we worked on in the first year was working on, I would say, there's probably better words for it, but I would say forecasting. So if I have this many jobs and this many on the horizon, and I have this many employees, and I pay them this much, and I can charge hourly for this much, and it all boils down, I don't know how it does it, and it doesn't matter to me. It all boils down to this one number, that if it's over a certain number, I should be hiring people. And if it's under a certain number, I need to get more work in for the people that I have. And that's like, to just have that number for me is, and that I trusted it, you know, that I trusted the people behind it that are filling in all those numbers and making the calculations work. It was very eye opening. And
that
I
sounds
used that
like a game changer.
It was a game changer.
Because you have grown. So you went from you and a 1099 to how many people you have now?
We have, including me, we have seven.
Seven. So how that was in how much, 2 years you grew?
2 years.
In 2 years you went from basically just you.
Yeah.
With some support to a staff of six, including and one plus you, right? So seven.
Right.
Six
right.
plus you.
And we're in different levels. So I still have two 1099 people mm-hmm. that are part-time, very part-time. My office manager is a 1099 person. I have two full-time project manager architectural people, and I have one part-time, although she's an employee, but she's part-time interior designer. And it's a great team. And it's, if there's one thing I'm very proud of is that I've put this team together. We all work well together. We like working together. We like each other, but we're a remote team. So we all do our own thing. And the thing I'm proud of is that I'm offering my employees the job I was looking for that was hard to find when I first came out of school, because I wanted to control my own time. And I knew I was a hard worker, and I knew that I wouldn't be cheating anybody, you know, if I worked on my own. Yeah. And I knew I could produce, but those jobs just weren't out there. Those jobs, you know, it was an office job or nothing. So I like that I can offer that to people that work for me.
Yeah. I think that's becoming more and more common. I think it's the future of small firms. I think mm-hmm. that will be the way small firms practice in the future. And because they're already starting to practice that way. I just recently had an interview with Diana Nicholas of Somme Architecture, who I think is, this will come out 2 weeks from now. So 2 weeks ago. It's actually the current episode now as we're talking, but it's 2 weeks from when this goes live. And she built a firm. She's got 26 people, and she built the same type of firm. That they do have a physical office, but they have unlimited vacation time. They have flexible hours. They, you know, everything that you need to live a life in this integrated life, which is a way that we are now starting to live our lives across the board. Everybody's starting to live this way because the digital tools allow us to do this. It allows us to grow, you know, and, mm-hmm. and so you're a perfect example of that, of you're growing in a less traditional way than past firms, but that allows you to grow. It allows you to be more flexible. It allows you to continue to live that integrated life that you want, that you were searching for, that you can have the time to spend with your family when you need it. You have the time to focus on your business as you want. And your business is growing. You've written a book. You've just recently released an app, which I want to talk about both of those things.
Okay.
It's so exciting to watch you grow, to see you commit to it and then just go for it.
Yeah.
You know, that you're very,
it's fun too.
You're very focused on what you need to do. Like you said, you know how to follow rules. And so all mm-hmm. you needed was somebody to say, this is the path. This is how you do it. And it started with a membership at Entree Architect, which is still a major part of who you are and, you know, your practice and your partnership with CBG. And now you have a thriving firm. You've rebranded from Scott Architecture to Springhouse Architects, which I love the name.
That was one of the first things we did with CBG, was getting all of that marketing and branding and renaming. I just felt at the time, I just felt we were taking a big turn at the time, trying to grow. And you know, I named my firm Scott Architecture just because we were in turmoil and I had to turn in some paperwork to become an LLC. And it just became that. I was never really comfortable with the name. I'm never really comfortable. People, like, if I want them to know that I own it by myself, I'll tell them. I don't need to like put it on the door. That's just how I feel about it. And I knew to grow that I'd have to release some of the client interaction and delegate some more of the meeting things and the sales pieces. And I didn't feel like we could do that legitimately with my name on the door. I'd rather have a generic name and let people, it's fine with me if people think that or don't know that I'm in control of everything.
It makes it much easier, right, to build a staff and build a leadership team that's going to lead projects, especially if your desire and your strengths are the business end and that you want to just grow this thing. And you want other people to be those leads with clients, and that gives you that flexibility to do that without having, you know, the feeling that clients want to meet with Sherry Scott because your name's
exactly
on the door.
Yes.
And that doesn't ever happen with a new name and a new mm-hmm. brand, that this is, you know, a project manager, project architect for Springhouse Architects.
Right.
That makes that process much easier. And so, so you rebranded, you know, you got a new website. So you also, and I think you wrote the book before you did any of that, right?
I did. Yeah. So I wrote the book probably about the time we met. I think it was finishing up, or it really just came from the blogging. I started blogging probably 2 years before that. And then that all translated into a book. And that has, I will say, if anyone, you know, has, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of brain power. It's a lot of focus to write a book, but it has been the single best thing I ever did in terms of marketing. The way we use it now, it's changed over the years, but the way we use it now, it's a PDF on our website that anyone can download for free. So when we get cold calls or emails or something through Howl's, we just send back an email and say, hey, download this book. It'll tell you more about us. It'll tell you more about the construction process. It may bring up more questions for you, but after you look through it, give us a call and you'll know what questions to ask me at that point.
That's great.
It's been great. It really has, because it's an introduction to me. I mean, I wrote it when I was a sole practitioner, so it doesn't talk a lot about our team at all.
Time for an update.
Yeah, it is time for an update. Again, that time and focus. That's why that hasn't happened yet.
Yeah. You may have to delegate that.
Yeah.
You can have somebody just go in and edit it and, you know, update it with a new team and work with you just to get the right words.
Yeah, good idea. So that still serves us well. In fact, just a potential client called us after we, if it's a client we really want to go after, we'll send them a hard copy through the mail and follow up with them. Otherwise you can download it. But we just had a client that's in the retail business, and he's like, you know, most of our business is all about marketing. He's like, you guys are killing it with this book. He said, that is the best approach I've ever seen. You take a first call, you say, I'm going to send you this book, and you call me back. He said, it's awesome.
Yeah.
So I got great feedback for that.
That's a great idea. I love how you're using it. And like you said, it's a lot of work. You know, you have to put a lot of effort into it. And you need it to be high quality, right? It can't be, you know, half done. It needs to be a fully functioning, well-designed book and for it to do what you want it to do. And then recently you released an app, right?
So the app. You want to talk about the app?
Yeah, I want to talk about the app because first of all, there aren't a lot of architects out there developing apps. Mm-hmm. But also, I want to know why you developed the app. So you're an architect. You're building your architecture firm. It's not like it's easy to develop an app. It's going to take a lot of time and effort and money. So why did you decide, what was the, you know, the trigger to do something like that? And then what was the result?
So the trigger, probably, like I said before, I don't have a lot of hobbies and I love business. I love creating things. And I actually did not know how much time and money and work it would take to develop an app. So I kind of started not knowing what I was getting into. And by the time I figured it out, I was too far in and I had to finish it. So the app it's a photo journal app for anyone doing a construction project. So it's not for architects, although we can talk about how architects can use it. It's for the homeowner.
Mm-hmm.
And it just started because clients, they love a book at the end of their project, right? And they want to remember what happened through the construction process. And they're always on site and they're always taking pictures. But rarely does a client sit down and sort through their picture and caption all of them and put them in some kind of order and send it to Snapfish and get a beautiful book, right?
Yeah.
So I thought, let's just make an app for my clients so that either we can do it for them while we're doing CA work, or they can do it themselves. So I partnered with a childhood friend of mine, Jenny, that is a graphic designer. And so she helped us with the graphic design portion of the book and the marketing materials and all of that. But basically, you download the app for free. You go out on site while your construction project is happening and you snap a picture and you say, oh, they started digging for the foundation. This is so exciting. And that's it. Then you go on and you're there, you know, 3 weeks later, they delivered the wood and they're flying the trusses today and did this. And then when you're looking for countertops, you can take pictures of different countertops and say which one you love the most and when you ordered it and looking forward to it. And just basically a photo journal, right? But the magic happens when at the end of a project, you've been doing this all along, taking pictures, putting a little caption. It captures the date, the time, the weather, actually, the location of each of those photos along with your little caption. And then you push one button in the app and it produces this hardbound book, coffee table book of your entire project.
That's such a good idea.
And you don't have to spend that time going back and sorting through photos. And you can publish the book with all of the photos, or you can publish them. There are a couple of different ways. You can publish with all of the photos you've taken. You can hand select which photos you want in the book, or you can pick all of the ones with captions. And you send that and we print it and mail it to you, and you have a gorgeous book.
That's so cool. Cause I've been doing photos and books for a long time to my clients as gifts at the end, just as,
right.
You know, coffee table book is a great idea because they're proud of it. They're proud of that project. Yes. They want to show their friends the photos. So they flip through the photos and guess what? Your logo is right there. Let them know who you are,
right,
and who did that work. And so that becomes part of that conversation that happens forever, because that never leaves the coffee table.
Because
they're proud of it.
Right.
And so to have an app that allows the client to be interactive during construction, to be part of the construction by documenting this process and this journey and the story of what they're doing and how they're doing it, and then have that opportunity to have a printed book, such a great idea. What's the name of the app?
Oh, it's Nester.
Nester.
N-E-S-T-E-R.
And it's on iTunes?
Yes.
Yeah,
it's for iPhone only. We haven't ventured into the Android market yet.
Very cool. We'll have a link to that on the show notes. Okay. We'll also have, what's the name of the book, too? I didn't mention what the name of the book was.
Dream Inspire Design.
Okay. Is that available on Amazon?
Yes.
Okay. So we'll have a link to that as well.
Okay.
I love talking to you. I get so inspired. And so happy to watch your growth, especially seeing, you know, I've been there through a lot of it, and have seen you grow. I'm very proud of you. Proud of you to see that you found your place, that you have this firm and it's growing and it's becoming what you want it to be. And you're on your way to that 5-year plan, right?
Yeah, we are on our way.
2020 is coming, right? It's not.
It is coming.
Far away.
Yeah.
What is your future? What is your thought on where you want to be in 2020? Has that original idea changed at all?
It hasn't. My goal is still 10 people, and then I will decide if we're staying there or if we're growing more. I just don't know yet what it'll be beyond that. But I do think one change will be in 2020, I'll probably get an office. Right now, our name Spring House came because we live in a 100-year-old farmhouse. And in the backyard was a stone spring house, original to the farmhouse. And I renovated that. It's a tiny little building, like 10 by 20. I renovated that into my office, my personal office.
I love
office.
That space.
It's awesome. So I get to walk to work every day. And that came from when I had 3 teenage boys in the house and I could not work in here any longer. or have clients in here, you know, three boys and two dogs. It just didn't work.
Yeah.
So I forget where I was going
the
with
name,
all of that.
The Springhouse name is.
So yeah. So Springhouse, the rebranding came from the Springhouse where we work.
Yeah. Yeah. And you live in Springboro, right?
In Springboro.
So
yes.
It all ties. And you do residential architecture. So it all, yeah. I love house. It. The name yeah. is so cool. I love the name. I love the website and I love your story. So Sherry, thank you very much for coming and sharing your story. Before we wrap up, I want to ask you the same question. I didn't warn you about this, but I'm sure you'll have an answer. Okay. Is my one question that I ask everybody is what is one thing that a small firm architect can do today to build a better business for tomorrow? So it's intended to be something that's pretty easily executed and see some relatively short-term results.
Yeah, well, obviously from my story, I would say sit down and write down your five-year plan, right? And it doesn't have to be an entire plan. You just need to look at your life and see what your life is going to be or what you want your life to look like in 5 years. What are your big changes that are coming? I probably should do that again because now in 5 years, I'm going to be 2 years, you know, past empty nest. Yeah, I should figure all that out again. But doing a five-year plan and figuring out your priorities, you know, where the other big change for me was deciding that I loved business and knowing that that's where I kind of wanted to head. I think that both of those things, you can sit down or you could go take a walk for an hour and just figure it out. Just think through it. And then from those two pieces of information, then I think you work backwards and you figure out, okay, how am I going to get there and who can help me get there? Because if you have big goals, and I would encourage you to have big, big goals, you're going to need help to get there. Because I certainly couldn't. I'm not there yet, but I couldn't have changed as quickly as I have in 2 years on my own.
I wish I had this recording to show you 2-3 years ago when we were talking.
Right.
because it was so difficult to get to where where you would commit. And what you just said is exactly what you needed to tell yourself back then.
Exactly.
Is that you can get there. You just need to know where there is and how to get there. And that vision narrative, that five-year plan, there's posts on it. There's a couple of posts and I think there's even a podcast on it on the vision narrative on the blog. We'll look those up and put those on the blog, on the show notes. And I agree with you, Sherry. I think that is one of the most important things to do is to think about where you want to be and write about it. And I encourage writing it like a story, right? Right. Mm-hmm. What's your day look like that, and with no limits, don't put any limits on you, where you want to be in 5 years from today. And look at how it's happened with Sherry here. So Sherry, thank you very, very much for coming to join me here on the podcast and for sharing your knowledge.
Well, thank you, Mark. And before we get off here, I want to say thank you for introducing me to some of my very best architecture friends.
You're very welcome. That's sort of a side note that one of the best pieces of Entree Architect Masterminds, and actually even the membership itself without the masterminds, is that you meet all these other people. But specifically the masterminds, the people in those small groups become your best friends.
Yes, because
you meet with them every week and they're there to support you and they understand you because they're going through the same things. And so thank you. Thank you for bringing that up. And you're very welcome because the people inside the membership are really special, you know, and they really, many of those have become my personal friends as well. And so I know exactly what you're talking about. If you liked what we shared here today, I ask you to share it with a friend, because that is how we're going to grow and get the whole world to hear what we're doing here at the Entree Architect Podcast. Pick one friend. You know who that is. It's in your mind right now. You may have already shared it with that one. We'll pick another one. Share it with one friend today. Complete show notes and a direct link to download this episode will be found at entrearchitect.com/episode 198. That is the link to share. entrearchitect.com/episode 198. And don't forget to visit the website to download your free profit course for small firm architects. Download it free at entrearchitect.com/freecourse and learn how to build a thriving architecture firm for 2018. entrearchitect.com/freecourse. My name is Mark R. LePage, and I am an entrepreneur architect, and I encourage you with all my heart to focus and build a better business so you can be a better architect. Love, learn, and share what you know. Thanks for listening, and have a great week.
From historic homes to modern architecture, brick is one of the most popular building materials around the world.
How to allow the house to bridge the gap between the history of the site, the approachability of this kind of architecture in this kind of neighborhood, and the sort of nostalgia of materiality for the client's past, right? And brick really started to provide an answer for that.
Hi, I'm Doug Pat, and this is Design Vault. There aren't many materials that easily blend with any style and context, but brick does just that. I've seen some extraordinary work with brick, so when Glengarry approached me about hosting this podcast, I couldn't say no.
Typically, Tudor-style houses from outside are just stunningly gorgeous piece of structure, and when you go in, it's just sad.
Yeah.
Dark. And that is not going to happen with my approach to design.
I speak with industry leaders and share inspiring stories behind their work and ingenious design.
You'll see brick that's fashioned into basket weave patterns, sawtooth patterns, what's known in England as diapering.
Doesn't sound like you knew them per se, right? They found you through relationships that you had with other.
Well, wait, Doug, there's more.
Okay.
We'll go behind the scenes to understand process and even the inspiration that sparked the design.
You know, I think we were inspired by all the factory buildings in Dumbo. I mean, that is the kind of period of significance, that early American factory building.
Design Vault by Glengarry. Visit glengarry.com/design-vault or search for Design Vault wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe now to stretch your imagination.
Attention architects and creative minds, get ready to supercharge your brand with Build Your Brand, the podcast that's unlocking the secrets of branding success for creatives. Hey there, it's Mark R. LePage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my friend, architect marketing expert, Jeff Eccles at Build Your Brand podcast, where he explores the captivating stories of the world's top brands and transforms their lessons into powerful moves for small firm architects and creatives like you. In season one, Jeff shares the thrilling tale of Southwest Airlines, where he dissects their journey to the summit and distills it into strategies tailor-made for you.
It's important to keep in mind that companies like Southwest compete in the real world, just like you, and face real-world challenges, just like you. You might be surprised at how similar those challenges are to the struggles that you grapple with on a day-to-day basis.
Don't miss out on your blueprint for success. Subscribe, tune in, and let's build your brand together.
You may have noticed that the very best brands in the world are also known for having somewhat unique corporate cultures. That's often the glue that holds everything together when they encounter those rough spots.
We don't do it because it inconveniences the passengers to whom we are primarily dedicated, the short-haul frequent flyer.
Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Build Your Brand today. Remember, no matter the size, the journey's the same. Your brand's journey to the top starts here.